And we will be keying in on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. One of my all-time, not just a verse, but two verses, one of my all-time favorite verses. And I've realized lately that I haven't spent a lot of time here in these two verses of late, last years, and beans I'm doing a series on my favorite verses. It's a wonderful place to bring it in. But one of the things I mentioned last week, and I actually had a taker this morning, I said that these are my favorite verses, but if you have a favorite verse, you can write it down on a piece of paper and tell me why it's your favorite verse and give it to me, and I may do a sermon on your favorite verse too. So that's an open door that you don't always have. Well, I guess you probably always do have that open door, but an invitation at least. One of the greatest struggles of life can be said in many different ways, maybe, but as a child, a young child, as Jordan might say, I want to do it myself. It's not only for children, but it's also very real to adults as well. How many times have you maybe not said it, but you've implied it or thought it within your heart that you just want to, as long as you can stay in control of things and do it yourself, you think that it's the best thing that you can do. You can keep control and you can do what you want to do and have it done the way that you want it to be done. We're taught in this world to be self-centered. We don't have to be taught that because we naturally are. It's a part of the makeup, I believe, of sin that we struggle with. And it is often, for many of us, something that trips us up so many, many times. And we struggle. I think we will continue to struggle. We're in Proverbs this morning, and Proverbs is written by a man by the name of Solomon. And he is described as being a very wise person, one of the wisest people, if not the wisest, other than Jesus, to ever live upon the face of the earth. And we struggle with that one too, but that's what it is. And he says in Proverbs, and it's quoted in other places as well, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Most of the time in our self-centeredness, we think that what we want and how we want to do it is the wisest way to approach things. We think it's through our experience and our wisdom. And quite often, some of the battles in life comes from that. In our relationships with our mates, with other people, we think we know what's best because of our experience, because of whatever. And I personally struggle with that in my approach to my relationships. But Solomon says that wisdom isn't something that is from us. It comes from God. And the fear of God, or we've talked about this, and not lately, so let me talk about it just a second here. Fear is a reverence. Fear is a place of desiring to understand God and who He is. Fear is giving God His place. Understanding that He is God. And all that that encompasses. So to fear God and to give God His place is the beginning of wisdom. That's where real understanding and wisdom comes from. Well, I want to zero in on these two verses because they elaborate on that to some degree, in a very important way. Because these verses start out by telling us we are to trust in God with everything that we are. And when we do that, the second verse says that our path in the newer translations will be made straight. That God will direct our pathways. God will lead us in where we should go and what we should do. And that is important for you and for me. Don't you struggle sometimes with knowing what to do next? Of what path you are to take? Most of us do, and most of us make many decisions based upon what we think instead of trusting God to do. And there's some fine lines there, but there is this very essential truth that we are to trust in God. Now, I want to approach these verses from one of the ways that I find appealing to me, and that is from this perspective, that what do we learn about God in these verses? You know, the world may be telling you to find out everything you can about yourself so that you understand yourself. But I want to look at this from the opposite side of things. I want us to see what we find out about God. Because it's in knowing God that we really find true wisdom and true understanding. And so I want to approach this from that perspective. What do we learn about God? And so there's three things from these verses that at least are intimated through these verses that they help us to see God, understand Him a little bit better. Number one, He is a God who can be trusted. Now, it doesn't exactly say that, but we know from experience and we know from the totality of the Word of God and even just the direct statement that we are to trust in Him, that He can be trusted. God is trustworthy. There are people in this world that have proven themselves to be trustworthy to you, right? You probably know people, I hope you know some people, that you can go to and you can trust them. Have they ever let you down? Well, it's possible over a course of time that even the most trustworthy person in your life may have let you down to some degree in some aspect. Because after all, we are human. And we do things that we shouldn't do, and we zero in on self sometimes rather than others and aren't as trustworthy to those other people as we should be. Most of us at times break our trust or have trust broken with us, even among trustworthy people. In important times, people are important to come alongside of us. There are situations in your life that these trustworthy people have been there, or maybe they've even sprouted up out of nowhere and come alongside you and helped you through a trying experience, a hard experience of your life. We've needed them, and they are there for us. But even greater than that is the fact that God says that the one trusting Him, that He will never leave, He will never forsake, I will always be there for you and with you. Try and put yourself in the place of Abraham. When God came to Abraham and He said, take your son, take your son Isaac, the son of my promise to you, the heir of your everything of your seed. Take your son and go offer him as a sacrifice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you trust God when he asks so much of you? Can you? Boy, that's a pretty difficult one. And yet Abraham did it. He trusted God, and he gathered up his son, he got some servants, all the materials needed, and he went to the place to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And he even got to the point that he raised the knife. Isaac had already said, "Dad, we have the wood and the fire and everything, but where's the sacrifice?" And you remember what Abraham said, right? God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. And he did. Abraham trusted God. And there's the intimation, I believe, in the New Testament that Abraham believed that if he would have had to sacrifice his son, that God would have brought him back to life again. He trusted God. That's a great amount of trust, but he is a God that can be trusted. There's a verse counter to this in Proverbs 28, at least a part of that verse, 28:26. It says, "He who trusts in his own heart," what do you think he is? He's a fool. Is what Solomon says. He's a fool. But you can trust in God. He is a God who can be trusted. Secondly, he is a God to be acknowledged. You know, I think one of the greatest problems that face our nation is the fact that we have politicized everything, okay, but we have removed the acknowledgement of God from politics, from government. We can't acknowledge him anymore. I mean, and you see that in the different aspects of what has been taken out. I don't remember where it was, just a high school, that made a decision that they could not start and have in the high school a pro-life club. Okay? Because, they said, it's too controversial. Now, okay, that's... what does that have to do with God? Well, it has to do with his principles and the very essence of who he is, his creative power and who he is. But in his principles and what they say. But there can be in many other controversial clubs, but not this controversial club. Why is it? Because we have removed the acknowledgement of God from the public sector. Or we are in the process. It's not completely gone. There are still many places that will pause before even a NASCAR race. They will pray before they start the race. Over the loudspeaker so everybody can hear it. They at least acknowledge God's presence. But there are many places that acknowledgement is gone. But God is a God who wants to be acknowledged. He wants you to acknowledge him in your life. And yet, we know that there are many people that will not acknowledge him, that do not believe, do not want to believe, and cannot believe in their own self-centeredness, and will not give God a place. But we know that it is one of the most important things in your life to acknowledge God. And one of the most important aspects of that is to acknowledge that I need him. Not that I want him. Not that I whatever else. But I need him. It's where salvation is. Without an acknowledgement of my need for God, that he is a God to be acknowledged, and it is necessary to acknowledge him for my salvation. If you do not give God that place to believe that he died on the cross for your sins in his son Jesus Christ, and that it is, and he rose from the dead, and you need him, you need to believe in him and what he did for you to have your sin forgiven and have eternal life. He is a God to be acknowledged, and that could go, we could go further there, but we'll leave it. Thirdly, he is a God who guides. And I've already mentioned the fact that, boy, sometimes in life you need to be guided, don't you? Are there questions that you have sometimes when you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to start my day, what am I going to do? Which direction am I going to go? In the classic of Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim would come to intersections in the road. Which way do I turn? Right or left, or do I go forward? Or do I just stop dead in my tracks? Or do I even reverse my course? You know, there's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of possibilities in this life. And the old joke is that the pastor has a hard time making up his mind sometimes. I just remembered the story, sorry Katie, of your pastor and Katie's dad. And the old animated Jungle Book with the two buzzards up in the tree. And I've told the story many times, but not lately. One saying to the other, what do you want to do? I don't care. What do you want to do? Well, I don't care. What do you want to do? And back and forth of trying to make a decision on what to do next, and they just sat in the tree. And that's me. And Donnie and I said, that was us. And it's pretty true. At least for me it was anyway. God is a God who guides us. When we trust him, put our trust in him, and allow him to do his thing in our lives, he will guide us. He will take us where we need to go. Back to Abraham, earlier in his life. Remember, God came to Abraham. It's one of the first things that we hear about Abraham. God comes to Abraham, he says, Abraham, pack up. You're moving. Great, Lord, where am I going? I'll show you when you get there. At least that's the intimation. Maybe God told him more, and it doesn't say it. But the intimation is that Abraham was to pack up, get all of his belongings, all of his livestock, all his possessions. He took his nephew, he took his servants, took his wife, good thing. And he started going the direction God pointed. And God says, I'll tell you when you get there. Takes a little bit of faith and trust. But God will guide you. He will take you where you need to go, where he wants you to go. God is a God who will guide you. It is in these difficult times. You know, that's an interesting statement within itself. These difficult times. You know, and sometimes I stop and I think about that, and I think, what times in this world have there not been difficult times? Since sin entered through Adam and Eve, there's been difficult times forever. Some seem to get a little bit more difficult, yes. And we think that we're in a very difficult time. Is it going to get worse? Yes, it probably will. You read the book of Revelation, there's some difficult times. But in the most difficult of times, and you may experience those difficult times in different ways in your own personal life, as you interact in this life, as life intersects with your life, it is not always clear where to go, but this is the answer. God is a God who is to be trusted, that can be trusted among anything and everything else. He is the one who can be trusted. He is a God to be acknowledged, and never forget that. Always put Him at the forefront, at the very front of your heart. You know, Deuteronomy or Joshua, or maybe it was Joshua, at the end of the book, says to write God's law and put it everywhere in your house and everywhere and even on your forehead. So it's there so people can see it. Have ways that remind you, maybe. Ways that remind you of your need to trust God and to acknowledge God and the fact that He is a God who will guide you, to trust in that very essence. He will take you and He will do with you what is necessary in your life. Trust Him to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. In these few short minutes, as we have talked about these very important verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Father, that is key to living life the way You want us to live life. Help us to come back to this. Help us to have it in front of us all the time. Help us to live in light of this. In Jesus' name, amen.